It's fantastic. Thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 38. Is that right? Evam Niranu Krusho. Evam Tram Niranu Balanam Mati Biddare. Ada Madhya Charasi. Yashoha Nirapatrapa. Eva. Translation. Prajapati Daksha continued. Thus, committing violence against other living entities and yet claiming to be an associate of Lord Vishnu, you are defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You needlessly created a mentality of renunciation in innocent boys, and therefore you are shameless and devoid of compassion. How could you travel with the personal associates of the Supreme Lord? Please repeat. Prajapati purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This mentality of Prajapati Daksha still continues even today. When young boys join the Krishna consciousness movement, their fathers and so-called guardians are very angry at the propounder of the Krishna consciousness movement because they think that their sons have been unnecessarily induced to deprive themselves of the material enjoyments of eating, drinking, and merrymaking. Kamis, fruitive workers, think that one should fully enjoy his present life in this material world and also perform some pious activities to be promoted to higher planetary systems for further enjoyment in the next life. A yogi, however, especially a bhakti yogi, is callous to the opinions of this material world. He is not interested in traveling to the higher planetary systems of the demigods to enjoy a long life in an advanced materialistic civilization. As stated by Prabodhananda Sarasvati, Kevalyam Narakaya Te Tridasa Purakasha Pushyapte. For a devotee, merging into the Brahman existence is hellish, and life in the higher planetary systems of the demigods is a will of the wisp, a phantasmagoria with no real existence at all. A pure devotee is not interested in yogic perfection or travel to higher planetary systems or oneness with Brahman. He is interested only in rendering service to the personality of Godhead. Since Prajapati Daksha was a Kami, he could not appreciate the great service Narada Muni had rendered his 11,000 sons. Instead, he accused Narada Muni of being sinful and charged that because Narada Muni was associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord would also be defamed. Thus, Daksha criticized that Narada Muni was an offender to the Lord, although he was known as an associate of the Lord. Evam from Niranu Maganatam. So, Krishna has many enemies. As we see, when Krishna was present, so many attacks were coming against him almost every day. And as a devotee, we inherit the same enemies, actually. Once you become a devotee, then those who are attacking Krishna, they're also attacking devotees. And it would be simple if it was only demons. But unfortunately, sometimes even like Daksha here is practically is a great demigod. You know, there's 9 different processes of devotional service, and for each one there's an example of a great devotee. For instance, chanting is Sukadev, hearing is Parikshit. So there's an example. Well, Daksha, he's the example of doing yagyas. He's such a great personality. He's did so many yagyas that he's considered to be the example of the greatest performer of yagyas, Vedic yagyas, ritualistic, karmakanda, sacrifices for elevation to heavenly planets or for improving the situation in the material world. So Daksha, he's practically a great demigod. But we see that sometimes devotees are also attacked by demigods. Like when Krishna told the residents of Vrindavan not to worship Lord Indra, as they were usually doing. So then Indra attacked all the residents of Vrindavan and put them in a very distressful situation. But of course Krishna, he likes to test the devotee. He likes to test his devotees to see, are they ready to surrender, sacrifice everything? Sometimes we might even have to annoy the demigods. Occasionally. Generally, devotee does not annoy the demigods. Generally, devotee is very respectful of the demigods. For instance, Lord Indra, he's father of Arjuna. How can we disrespect Lord Indra and think he's an ordinary man? He's father of Arjuna, the greatest devotee. How can we disrespect Lord Indra? He's a great hero, great personality. So we don't think, oh, this is a bad thing Indra did. We think it's a leela. It's a pastime he's having with Krishna. We don't think, oh, Indra is very terrible. How can Arjuna's father be terrible? That's not possible. He's a great personality. The great demigods. It's kind of a leela. So, although Daksha's nowhere near same level as Indra, still, he's a great personality. Anyway, when Indra sent the rains on Vrindavan, Krishna saved all the devotees. Krishna likes to test devotees, doesn't he? Sometimes he likes to test us to see, do we have full faith in him? For instance, you know, sometimes you get a servant and he says, you know, I will serve you in every, I will offer my service to you. But as soon as there's some trouble, he's gone. Or he says, just like when the rains were coming, the devotees, they were not saying, oh, Krishna, look what you've done now. You've got us into a lot of trouble. We followed you and look what's happened now. No, they weren't saying like that. They were just happy to be with Krishna. They were happy to see Krishna so close. Suddenly, all the residents of Vrindavan on the Govardhan Hill, suddenly they got a chance to see Krishna 24 hours a day and very close also. Especially the gopis and all the mothers. They didn't see Krishna all day long. He's going in the forest with the cows. So they were happy. They weren't finding fault with Krishna. Sometimes a fair weather friend, we say fair weather friend. We can be a servant as long as everything's fine. As soon as there's a little bit of trouble, then they turn away. So Krishna wants to see if we're just fair weather friend. Of course, once we become a devotee, we may also have to get in trouble with the demigods. Certainly we get in trouble with society. That's why Prabhupada made a big effort about preaching in India in the beginning, because he knew that in India we would get some support from big people and that we would need that in the future. And we can see how this has come true. For instance, when the devotees were under attack in England, They were trying to close down the manor. Everybody knows probably the history of that. So actually, we lost in all the courts and everything. We lost all the cases in the courts. It went on for many years, actually. Under attack. And we lost all the cases. But when it finally came to the end, some big, big life members had spoken to Tony Blair and the ministers and the top people in the government, personal contact. And told them, no, you have to stop this. So in the end, it was just action taken by high people in the government to go against the court. The court had decided Manna must close. Even the high court, it had gone through all the courts. Meanwhile, the government leaders, they had some personal contact, personal friendship with some big, big life members. I think Ms. Hinduja was one of them and some other ones. Very, very wealthy men who live in England, Indians. And because of that personal contact, the minister, the prime minister actually, it was done by the prime minister through the minister, went against the court order and put minister's directive over above everything and said, no, Manna will stay open. So Prabhupada knew that this cultivation of big people, this preaching, he started this life membership program that time when I was in India. I was life membership preacher. Used to go out, used to come back and discuss with Prabhupada. One time I was sitting in Prabhupada's garden, just with Prabhupada and me alone. I'd come back from Sankirtan. And we used to get a lot of people criticizing, saying, oh, you're CIA. In the beginning in India, everyone was thinking we were CIA. Anybody who was against us, who was not on, because people don't understand devotees, unless they're also a devotee. They're suspicious. They think, where is this money coming from? Americans are coming. It must be CIA. So I used to come across this a lot, hearing all these doubts. And you have to be able to destroy all these doubts with preaching. So it was a big problem we were getting, and I mentioned it to Prabhupada. Oh, we're always getting criticized like this. And Prabhupada mentioned this story. Yeah, when you preach, you'll get all kinds of opposition. What can we do? We just have to carry on. Trust in Krishna. So Prabhupada also got a lot of opposition. He was not really accepted in India. Certainly not like people like Vivekananda. People like Vivekananda was given big, big name and big acceptance in India. Much more than Prabhupada, at the time of Prabhupada. And yet Vivekananda had done nothing. He'd given one lecture, that's all. But he was the first person to do something in America on behalf of Hinduism, as they say. So Vivekananda somehow had got some big, big name. But Prabhupada was doing so much, and nobody was even knew Prabhupada's name, actually. Prabhupada didn't make himself famous in the beginning. He made Krishna famous. Mostly nobody in India knew Prabhupada. Who is your guru? Who is your guru? Even now they know Krishna. They know Hare Krishna. And of course nowadays they're hearing about Prabhupada. But in the beginning, in Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada didn't get that. Prabhupada didn't get treated like he would have been now. Prabhupada was treated a bit like Narada Muni in this story. He was homeless. Actually, as we're going to see, the result of this is that Daksha, he cursed Narada. So this is the situation of a devotee in the material world. We get enemies, we come under attack, we can get cursed, we can even get problems with big, big demigods. We have to have faith. Name bhakta vanashyati. Krishna says, my devotee never perishes. So we have to have faith that Krishna will protect us. And we have to cultivate devotees in big places. I was just reading in a newspaper article here about Kazakhstan. They tried to close down the temple. They did, actually, didn't they? They closed it down and demolished the houses. And so they're complaining to government of India and to government in England, Tony Blair, Prime Minister of England also. Like this, people in big positions, they can do something from personal contact. Much more than anything else, personal contact is a very big thing. So this is the importance of preaching, cultivating powerful people. It's also the secret towards getting to know Krishna. This is why we have Guru. Guru is a person who's friends with Krishna. He's great personality. He knows Krishna. So he can introduce us to Krishna. Then Krishna will take notice. Has anybody heard of a band called the Beatles? Famous English music band. Maybe you're too young. But when I was young, Beatles was a huge thing. In fact, the Beatles, they supported Prabhupada, and they were the first ones to make Hare Krishna famous, actually. They took up Mahamantra and helped the devotees record, and they made Hare Krishna famous because they were world famous. So anyway, they're very, very big people. So one day I went to a concert, and it was Ringo Starr. He's one of the Beatles, the drummer. And I went with a friend of his, a doctor, who was a very close friend with Ringo. He took me to a concert. And when we went to the concert, all of the famous musicians from England were there. Every famous musician you can think of. Rolling Stones, Sting, you know, the U2, anyone you can think of. It was a big party. All the famous musicians were inside, not on the stage, but in the backstage party. So I went in with my friend into the backstage party, and everybody was famous. But Ringo, he was not there. Ringo was in a back room. So everybody was ignoring me. Nobody knew who I was. I wasn't famous. But I was with this friend of Ringo. So we went through all the famous people into the back room. And then in the back room, I met Ringo's wife and Ringo's son. Still, we didn't get to Ringo. And my friend, he knew Ringo's wife and Ringo's son. He introduced me. Oh, this is Ringo's wife, this is Ringo's son. Then, in one high, high room was Ringo, alone. And then my friend was so close with Ringo, he took me straight in. And Ringo comes and hugs him, my friend. And he says, Ringo, I want to introduce you to my friend Mahaksha. He's a devotee of Krishna. He's a musician. So he taught, just like Prabhu here, introduced me a little bit. So he said some nice things to Ringo about me. He says, Ringo, he's a musician. He knows Paul McCartney. He's in Hare Krishna. He's my friend. He's a nice person. So Ringo, because he said that, Ringo's looking at me and giving me all attention. Oh, nice to meet you. Nobody else was meeting Ringo. All the big famous people, they couldn't go in. They couldn't go in. But I could go in because I went with a close friend. And then he'd pay attention to me also. He's ignoring his wife and his son and all these famous people. He spent half an hour talking to me because I went with a friend. So I saw, oh yeah, this is like Krishna, you know. If you get somebody to put a word in to Krishna for you about you, oh, Krishna, he's just a devotee. He's doing such nice service. He's suffering so much. He's a very nice devotee. Somebody who knows, who Krishna trusts, puts in some word for you. God, it makes a wonder. It's like a magic dust. Suddenly Ringo is talking. Ringo looked at me and he said, I think I know you from somewhere. I said, no, I don't think so, Ringo. I said, I'm a big fan of yours, but I've never met you. And he said, no, I know you from somewhere. He said, I'm sure I've met you before, some other life. And he's looking at me very puzzled. But he's very friendly, and all because I went with somebody. If I would have just been in the room with all the famous people, I'd have had no chance. But because I went with a friend. So this is the way that we approach Krishna. And this is the way that we should preach. We're not preaching to get anything. We're preaching to make friends, actually. The most valuable thing you can do is to make friends, especially the friends in the high places, powerful people. This kind of preaching is very important. That Prabhupada trained us up like that. Actually, Prabhupada did that deliberately. Because Prabhupada knew that if India supported the Hare Krishna movement, and I mean India in the sense of the government right the way up to the top, if India would support the Hare Krishna movement, then it would be protected around the world. And this is proved to be true. This we see is true. Because India is protecting Hare Krishna to some degree, maybe not giving us full acceptance above other religions, but still, to some degree, India is protecting. So that's helping us in so many countries, so many situations it's helping. In Russia, it helped a great deal in the beginning. The influence of the Indian government on Australian government and then Australian government on Russian government in the very high circles between the prime ministers, this protected the devotees in Russia. So, you know, this kind of cultivation of powerful people. Now, another thing is, you don't always know who is a powerful person and who is not. So you should treat everybody as potential. Because who knows what somebody will become, you know, especially young people. I've met people in my life when they were young who have become very, very huge, big people. I thought, oh God, I should have been better. I should have been nicer to that person. Later on, they become something. I mean, that's not why, but everybody, of course, is part of Krishna. So this is really, we should make everybody is a potential important friend. We should treat everybody like that when we preach. Everybody can be. Everybody is part of Krishna, so everybody is important. So we see here that Narada, he's not getting angry, although he's getting cursed, and he's not even going away, he's patiently listening. Sometimes if somebody gets very angry, you want to go away quickly, even for their sake, because you don't want them to make offense. But Narada, he's patiently listening, and so that Daksha could get it off his chest, you know. Get all his anger out. And he's cursing Narada that he will have no home. He has to wander around the earth with no home. So many devotees, Prabhupada said, many devotees, we inherit this curse of Narada. Many of us, we don't have a home. Actually, nobody has everything. Just like you said, that Narada Muni, he's a super spaceman, right? There's a book in the bookshop, Narada Muni, the Spaceman. It's a children's book. Because he can go anywhere. He can just fly to different planets. Oh, what a thing. Imagine you could do that. What a power. He has some great power. He can just appear wherever he wants. Mystic cities. But he's not allowed to stay. So just see, even Narada Muni. So everybody's like this. This is astrology also. You know, astrology, everybody has some strength and some weakness. Even you look at the chart of a very, very evil person, something will be good. Just like this Daksha. You know, he's not very nice, but he's got some good qualities. So, you know, everybody's got some strength and some weakness. Actually, when a planet becomes exalted, it aspects its debilitation. So anybody who's very, very blessed, they're also very, very unfortunate in some way. Extremely. If you're extremely blessed, you also get extremely unfortunate in some way. Just take Lord Ramachandra. Of course, Lord Ramachandra had exalted son. But that son is aspecting the house of the father, so he lost his father young. And he had to leave home. So he's an example, you know. There is opposites in this material world. It's a world of duality. Anything, any great blessing is going to have some negative side. So we see that Narada, he has this great blessing. He can go anywhere, but he can't stay. So that's a curse, really. That's quite a bad curse, isn't it? Not having a home. It's you know, no direction home. Bob Dylan, he had a song. No direction home. Like a rolling stone. Like a rolling stone, no direction home. So this is a song of Bob Dylan. And this is Narada Muni. He's always on the move. And of course, the home is Vaikuntha, but he doesn't want to go there. He's serving the Lord in this world, in this universe. So he was very patiently, Narada, Daksha cursed him. So Narada, he's very powerful. He could have cursed Daksha. Actually, Narada could have burned Daksha to ashes. Narada is so powerful. He could simply burn Daksha to ashes and not get cursed. But this is the quality of a devotee. He's very humble. He's surrendered to Krishna. He's not taking action in his own defense. A devotee will become like a lion in Krishna's defense. But for his own defense, he'll not take any action. Just like we have the story about Govinda, the servant of Lord Chaitanya. To serve Lord Chaitanya, had to go out, wasn't it, to get prasadam or something. He had to step over Lord Chaitanya. But to take prasadam, he would have to do again, so he didn't do it. So he took a risk for the Lord's service of making an offense for his service. But for himself, he didn't do that. So a devotee can become very, very aggressive even if it's in the Lord's service or for the protection of the devotee or protection of the Lord. But for himself, he won't take any action. This is a great devotee, Narada Muni. He just very humbly accepted the curse and used it in Krishna's service. Of course, the demigods, is like it's saying in the purport here, a devotee doesn't aspire for these pleasures of the demigods. Actually, the demigods, they're interested in what's going on the earth. I was in South India, in Goa, and there was a lot of people on the beach beating away on drums. There was about 100 hippies on the beach banging on drums. And nobody's singing or saying anything. And maybe there was 200 people actually. A lot of people and about 20 drummers and everyone's going boom, boom, sunset. And so I went along and I started chanting Hare Krishna. I thought, only thing missing here is Hare Krishna. So it's already a kirtan. And suddenly someone said, oh, we have a center. Very good, very good. Somebody gave me a guitar. So I started chanting Hare Krishna. Next thing, everyone's chanting Hare Krishna. They all started joining in. And Radhe, 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 and Hare Krishna. And suddenly they're all joining in. Well, as the kirtan was going on, I'm looking at the stars came more close. The stars were suddenly coming more close. Everybody was seeing it. The stars were going like this, sparkling more than usual. Shooting stars were going like this. And suddenly the stars were coming more close than I've seen before. I used to live in Hawaii. And Hawaii, you see all the stars. And I used to have kirtan hall in my house. And every full moon we'd have kirtan and look and see the beautiful stars. But I've never seen the stars like last week. And it wasn't so special. It was just a little kirtan. But you know, a lot of these stars, it's chariots of demigods. It's not just planets. A lot of it is actually demigods' chariots. And they're interested when there's a kirtan. Because actually the demigods, they want to come to the earth and take birth. Because in one life, by chanting, you can go back to Godhead. So they want to come to the earth. So they're very interested in what's going on. And if you get a kirtan going, I was thinking, oh, these demigods, maybe they don't want to come and join ISKCON. Maybe they want to be a hippie on the beach. Easy life. That's why maybe they're interested in that kind of a kirtan. Maybe they're not ready to come and join ISKCON. Maybe it's too hard for them. The demigods, they're a bit they like enjoying, right? I was thinking maybe why they're so interested, because maybe this is where they're kind of seen, you know. Maybe they like to take birth here. Anyway, we think it's insignificant, but actually what's going on the earth, even the demigods, they're very interested in what's going on the earth. Actually, there's a huge war going on the earth now. I was talking about this last time I was here. You know, in Mahabharata, the world was threatened by demons. But it's much more threatened now than at that time. Because everything at that time was organic. There was no nuclear waste. There was no plastic. There was no chemical factories. The food was all pure. There was no chemical sprayed on the food. There was no toxic waste dumps. There was no disturbance of the weather. You could wander all around the holy places in India as a sadhu. Just imagine how it was in India, how it used to be. You could easily be a sadhu. Everybody would give you. I remember when I first came to India, hospitality, I was traveling preacher. From the moment I joined, I was on Sankirtan. But everywhere we went in India that time, so much hospitality. You never had to think, where am I going to stay? What am I going to eat? Everyone saying, come to my house, come and stay here. And nowadays it's less, it's going losing, it's going down. But just imagine, 500 years ago, how in India was. You could be a sadhu very easily. You didn't have to worry about anything. If you were detached from family, you didn't have to worry about how I will survive. How will I live? So that's how the earth planet used to be. And now, and even in time of Mahabharata, it was like that. But what about now? Oh, if Mahabharata was a dangerous time, what about now? Everything is so dangerous. The weather has been affected so badly that there's disturbances in the weather everywhere, all over the world. Droughts, fires, not enough rain or too much rain. And in the air is all poisoned. The water is all poisoned. The food is all poisoned. The people's mind is all poisoned. There's constantly on the TV propaganda. This demon propaganda. And now people think there's no other alternative. They think there's only this way of life. They don't think it's possible to live any other way, the young people. But when I was young, young people thought, no, we don't need this. When I was young, young people didn't watch the TV. They didn't watch the advertising. They rejected. No, we don't need any of that. Young people used to be rebellious. But nowadays, everyone's given up. Everyone thinks you have to have a mobile phone, you have to have a car, you have to have all this, computer. You can't live without. Everyone's except. It's become, the propaganda has succeeded so much. Everybody is mentally programmed, polluted, even the devotees. Even the devotees, they don't believe, like Prabhupada said, we can live simply on the land with a cow. We don't need any of this technology. But devotees don't believe that either now. Even the devotees don't believe it. There's very few devotees who are doing it. Because we don't think it's good fun. But I can tell you in my life I've done it. I've lived without money in nature with no technology. 2 times. One time I had horse and cart, had a cow, had 5 acres of land, grew my own vegetables, grew my own food. No money, not much money. Another time I lived in Hawaii with no money, 1 year in the jungle. Just from food, fruit from the tree. And I had no money. And every day I was eating what I could find on the tree, from the tree. But I had a problem with my arm. My arm was in a cast. So I couldn't climb the tree. I had to wait for it to fall down. And every day I'd go and... Avocado is very good when you're hungry, right? Avocado. So usually the tree, 3 avocado would fall down. 1 would get eaten by a rat or broken or worms. And 2 would be for me every day. So one day I went and there was no avocado. So I walked a little bit further and there was beginning of mango season. Suddenly mango had fallen. First time. So, oh, there's a mango. So, like, Krishna is maintaining. Huh? Krishna, when you have nothing, Krishna looks after you when you have nothing. When you look after yourself, Krishna doesn't have to bother. But when you have nothing, Krishna is maintaining very nicely. So I can say that's the most happy time in my life. The two times when I lived like that, I was so happy. I could chant, I could meditate, I could worship so easily. I was in good consciousness. It was so much better. But nowadays, nobody believes that that kind of life is better. Everybody, we're so convinced by demon propaganda. It's coming at us all the time, all the time. Boom, 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 all the time. On the TV, on the newspaper, from everybody all around us. Propaganda. Demon propaganda. And we believe it. And now nobody's even fighting. When I was young, many, many people were fighting against it. Like hippies and people like that were fighting against it. But now, very few people are fighting. Everybody's given up. And we're living in this time. So this is worse than Mahabharat time. It's a very dangerous time. And it's a war. It's definitely a war with demons over the planet Earth. They will destroy the Earth within 100 years. So, you know, the Pandavas, they said, give us 5 villages. Actually, the place I was staying in Goa, the Pandavas, they wanted to make a city. They stayed there. So the Pandavas, they came back and they said, give us 5 villages. So they said, no, we're not giving you anything, because if we give you 5 villages, everybody will see it's better. Life is better. And we don't want anyone to see that. They're just like us. Have we got any villages? I don't think so. We don't have anywhere where we don't have any country which is Krishna conscious. It's like there's some countries which is all Muslim, some country is all Christian government. But we don't have any example of Krishna consciousness. We don't even really have a full-on village. Simple living where we live without technology. We don't really have. We have some one or two farms. Actually, Prabhupada wanted this very much, but we never really succeeded. And so what will we do now? The demon. Well, there's only one thing we can do. Like the Pandavas, we have to take everything. We have to take the whole world. If we don't take the whole world, they'll destroy it. It's no good just taking a small ashram. We have to take everything. This is how you have to think. Prabhupada used to think very big. Prabhupada was not small thinker. He was thinking of taking Earth, making whole planet Krishna conscious. At least putting the control of the government. And you can influence the government by big people. That they get into power and they're a devotee. Everything can change. If you just get one government leader and he says, okay, we'll try this Krishna consciousness. We'll try the full philosophy in one state of this country or somewhere. We'll try to put it into practice in one country. Then everyone will see, oh, this is better. So we're definitely in a dangerous war. If we don't take the whole world now, the demons will destroy it. By the time of our children and their children, it'll be finished. This whole way of life is unsustainable. All this whole motor car craziness, every time they make a mobile phone, you can't put that back into the earth. It doesn't go back into soil for hundreds and thousands of years. It's a criminal gang. This humanity, this modern humanity, it's a big criminal gang. Because we're living at the expense of our children. You know, this nuclear power, now India wants to buy nuclear power from America, right? It's a big, big thing. It's criminal. This nuclear power is huge criminal activity. Doesn't matter who's doing it, which government, they're criminals. Because the bill is being paid by our children, their children, their children, their children, their children. 200,000 years nuclear waste is poison for 200,000 years. And how do you look after that? They don't know what to do. They have no plan what to do with nuclear waste. They can't bury it under the ground. There's nowhere safe enough for 200,000 years. They still haven't found a solution. They're keeping it in a few places, like Japan, England, America, some few places. They have all this nuclear waste. And they keep it in tanks. They have to pour millions of gallons of cold water all the time. It's so dangerous. If they not keep it cold, it'll come out. And if it comes out, it'll poison whole continents. Whole world will be poisoned by this stuff. It's such a huge poison. And where is Lord Shiva to drink it? I don't think Lord Shiva wants to drink that poison. The only thing we can do is put it on a spaceship with all the politician who made it and send it to the sun. We have to hold them accountable. We have to put them under arrest. They're criminals. Every government, they're criminals. They need putting under arrest. So this is what we are doing. We're going with our weapons. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And we're putting them all under arrest until they surrender to Krishna and give up this demon poisoning. At least they have to give up this demon poisoning. It's a madness. Now every country is saying, oh, we'll get nuclear power. We'll have to have nuclear power because they say nuclear power is not doing global warming. You know what I mean? It's not producing greenhouse gases. But who's paying? Who's paying? Our children is paying the bill for our light now. Is that criminal or what? It's madness. It's complete madness. You know, I went to a city in Italy last year, Florence. Beautiful architecture. And I was going around the cathedral with a guide. And he said, this building, it was built by such and such, and then his son built this building. In other words, it took three generations to build the building. And all around, beautiful walls and farms and trees. And this was done by men who were thinking, I'm not going to enjoy this. Neither my children, my grandchildren. This building will not be finished for three generations. And they were doing it. They were doing so many things, men, in the past, for the well-being of the future generations. And nowadays, to put electricity, we send the bill for 200,000 years of our children. That's how criminal we are, how mad we are. We've become so mad, humanity. There's all this demon propaganda. Is anybody awake? Is anybody still awake? This is what I wonder. Not so many people are awake. If one person is awake to ring the alarm bell, something can be done. So we have to make sure that we stay alert, because we're in a time of emergency. We're not in ordinary time. Everybody says that the Shastra has so many instructions, right? It's, you know, what is the right thing to do? But in emergency, all the instructions are different. In emergency, you have to just take care of the fire, quick. So what is religion and what is irreligion? Who is a great devotee and who is not a great devotee? You cannot see it. You cannot see it. Playing the game of being a great devotee. Oh, he's such a great devotee. But not dealing with the problem. Not dealing with the real problem of demons controlling the earth. How are we going to stop these demons? This is our business. This was Prabhupada. Prabhupada was not sitting around getting praised. Oh, you're a great Mahatma. You're a great guru. You're a great this. Nobody was paying attention to Prabhupada. By the time he was there, he was gone to the next place. He was taking care of the real situation and not getting the praise that he should have got. So, this is an emergency situation. We got to be doing something about it. Demons destroying this planet. We should be working very clearly towards that. Prabhupada was a lion. He wasn't ready to let them have the earth. And we're his followers. Is there any question or comment? Is that a question?
Haribo. So we thank you for your very convicted class. We see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are four types of impious men that never surrender to me. And also we have this prayer by Queen Kunti that says to allow the demons to destroy each other. So my question for your class is that when we say that the demons, they're holding all the keys, you know, to all the doors, and they have complete power, and Krishna's also saying that these four types of persons never surrender to me. So how do you, what would you instruct us to do as far as our preaching endeavors? Because it seems a little bit impossible to get to that type of high position. Saying how the demons, according to Krishna's analysis, they never surrender to me.
Well, you know, nobody can deal with the problem single-handed, you know. That's why it's Sankirtan, together, which we're putting out the vibration, together, the holy name. The only real way is the purification of the name and the books. This is the only thing we can do. And trying to cultivate powerful people, make friendship with people who are powerful or people who can become powerful. But the name is the most powerful thing. That's why I do music, because everybody's listening to music and the music is horrible. Nowadays the music is all horrible. So if you can make nice music with Krishna, it can go everywhere suddenly. Everybody's listening, huh? Wherever you go, they have CD player, radio, they're listening to music. That's why I work on music. Everybody says, what are you doing, Prabhu? I say, I'm working on music. For many, many years, oh, you're not doing anything. You've done nothing. For many, many years as a devotee, I've been working on this. Like in my laboratory. And everyone says, oh, you got no result. No, I got no result. I'm still doing. All right, no result. Nothing, you've done nothing. One day, maybe something will happen. Like that, we have to work on our purity, on our chanting. We should try to do something effective. Even we don't get the result. Even it's not successful. Krishna doesn't look, what is the result? Krishna sees what is your real intention. You want everyone to think you're a great devotee and you're a something big devotee. Then play the game. Play the game of the big devotee. Everybody will think you're a great Mahatma. You look like devotee, you do all the... But will you save the world? I don't think so. Or will you do the serious, needful thing? Because I'll tell you one thing. Once you do the serious, needful thing, nobody will respect you. Everybody will walk on you in this demon world. You'll be walked on, you won't be respected, you'll be kicked out of everywhere. Once you stand up to do the really needful thing, it's not an easy path. That's why everything will turn upside down, just like Prabhupada did. Prabhupada was not the big respected devotee in the Gaudiya Math. He was a humble person who went outside, tried to do something wonderful. Prabhupada tried to do something creative, something beautiful, something fresh. He wasn't finding fault with the other devotees and arguing over which way to divide the cake. He was going out and making a new cake. So that's my inspiration. My inspiration is Prabhupada, humble, hitching a ride. I came here yesterday, I was telling my friend, Prabhupada was hitching a ride in Bombay. He was like a hitchhiker, you know, standing on the side of the road trying to get a ride. You know what is a hitchhiker? When I was young, we used to travel everywhere like that. When I was a teenager, I traveled all over Europe just like this. Stand by the side of the road, put your thumb. Everyone used to stop. You could travel anywhere. Prabhupada was doing that in Bombay. He was trying to get a ride to America. He was trying to get a ride on a boat. Free ride. And he probably had no money. Not much. He had some books. He arrived in America with one dhoti and cold weather. With free ride. That's Prabhupada. He went out and did something amazing. Without anybody giving him any credit for it in the beginning. You have to do what is really needed, and not do what just to get respect and position. And if somebody does that, in the end, we may defeat the demons. If devotees work in that mood, in the end, we must defeat the demons. We must defeat them. They cannot destroy the world. The demigods, they want the world. They want the world for a golden age. Isn't it? 20,000 years. They need the earth planet at least 20,000 years. So somehow or other, the world will be saved in the next 100 years. So who's going to do it? Is it going to be you? Who's going to do it? Because it's going to be done. It'll be done by Krishna. Krishna may not choose the best devotee. He may choose the devotee who's trying in the right place at the right time. Sometimes, you know, if a job needs doing, you can't wait for the best person because the best person's not there. So you have to use whoever you've got. Somebody who's ready to go, they're in the right place, right time, they're trying, okay, we'll use that person. And that's how Krishna will work. He's not necessarily going to use the best person if the best person is unavailable. Sometimes the best person is in too palatial of a place. They're not down on the ground, suffering like everybody else. They're not feeling the problems. They're not feeling what's going on the ground. That's why they say is a street credibility. You've heard of that? Street cred. They say like a rap artist or somebody, he's got street cred. It means he's been on the street. He's been down on the street. He's learned it on the ground. He's not living in some palace, cushioned life. He's feeling the bumps. So, if you've got some street cred, like Prabhupada, as a Mahatma with street credibility, he went into the Bowery, he went into the places where all the roughest suffering people were, where he could get an army. He couldn't get an army in the palatial palaces. Even in India, nobody would join. When we were preaching in India, nobody would join. We got one devotee, Lokanath Swami, that's it. Practically, and his brother. Most of the Indians were joining in the West. Nobody would join. It was too risky. Oh, we're going to join this risky movement. Now everybody wants to join and be a great Mahatma. But do you have any street credibility? Like Prabhupada? Have you been on the ground? Are you in the battle? Are you really fighting in this battle? Because there's a battle going on for this planet. This is Mahabharat number 2. And there's... this is Mahabharat now. Prabhupada has given us the information. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.